to the Scientific Launch podcast with me and my interesting guest. Today we will have a look under the surface of daily life of PhD student. At the end we will discuss ethical aspects of science and how it affects PhD research. Without much ado, let me introduce our guest. Kata did her master's in Stockholm at Karolinska Institute. Afterwards, she moved to Switzerland and worked at pharma company. Finally, approximately 2 years ago, she started her PhD studies at University of Oslo, focusing on precise gene editing therapies using CRISPR-Cas9 technology. I'm glad you are here with us today, Kata.
Thank you so much for inviting me for the podcast. I'm really excited for the discussion that we're about to have.
Before we will peek into your daily life as a PhD candidate, could you please try to describe in an easy and understandable way what is your project about?
So I'm working with a biomedical project where we are attempting to use this cutting-edge molecular biology tool, which you mentioned was the CRISPR-Cas9. And we are using this tool to correct disrupting mutations in patients' genome. And the patients that I have in my PhD, they all have primary immune deficiency disorders, which means that they don't really have normal immune functions, and they are susceptible to developing infections and autoimmune diseases and cancers. And the idea behind my project is to replace the mutated part with a healthy version of the gene, and this will result in normal functions of the cell. And there's a huge unmet need for these patients, because they don't really, there is no cure for these diseases, and the therapeutic interventions that we have currently are not or always very optimal. So the goal of this project and this lab is, of course, to bring these technologies to the clinic so that we can, in real life, have an application for these patients. But before these clinical trials begin, there's a lot of work that has to be carried out, and that is kind of what my project is about. So in my project, I'm working with the patient cells, their immune cells, where we are correcting these mutations and investigating how safe the CRISPR system actually is. So because this is a very novel tool, so we want to have the highest accuracy of the editing. We want to have the best efficiency so that the maximal amount of the cells would have the correct edit. And then, of course, we want to make sure that the cells that we work with have normal functions and that they would be ready to be transplanted into a patient.
Thank you very much. That sounds amazing. I hope it will get to the clinic soon. To elaborate more on this, how does your regular PhD day look like? Imagine a medium busy day in terms of experiments. As someone coming from the same field, I know how challenging it can be.
Yeah. What I really love about my project, and I think the same is for yours, is that every day is quite different. There's not so much routine work in the PhD student's life. And the way I structure my days, it really depends on what I choose to do myself. So a lot of the time, if I'm very busy, it's because I made myself busy, or vice versa. But typically, I mean, most of my project is wet lab based, which means that I am in the lab doing the experiments and then being less in the office. So a lot of the time, I would say generally is me hovering around in the lab doing experiments and then spending the rest of the time analyzing data and planning new experiments in the office.
Perfect. What do you think is frustrating in PhD life? I can tell from my own experience, the failed experiments are extremely frustrating, but on the other hand, very helpful to make yourself even better scientist.
I can really relate to the experimental frustrations, but maybe my biggest frustrations are kind of on a broader level of a PhD, is that first of all, it's a very long commitment, and PhD, now I came to realize that it's kind of like a marathon, that you don't have these quick fixes and quick results. It is a long project, and you have to commit to it. And of course, for us specifically, this is a highly competitive field, so it really affects the way that we are working. I mean, we are constantly in the risk of getting scooped, so the projects have to be really airtight and very well executed. And I'm a bit of a in this PhD bubble where my loved ones and my friends are all doing their PhD. Well, some of them are doing. So we are kind of all having the same frustrations. But whenever I see my family who are not part of this life, I can see how strange and difficult the PhD person's life is and the kind of sacrifices that you end up making. So sometimes that might also feel a bit frustrating.
I see. So to wrap this part up, Kata's project is quite challenging and a lot of effort and time can come to waste along the track. But what was your biggest wow moment in science so far? I remember the experiment I did during my master thesis, and I used CRISPR for the first time, and somehow it worked, and it was really a magical moment for me. So could you elaborate on this part as well?
Yeah. The wow moments that I've had, some of them are experimental, but so far I haven't made these like big innovative discoveries that caused me to have such a big wow moment. But like the first things were in my previous labs in academia where I was interning and doing my thesis work, which were these really big academic labs, and I could see this kind of momentum that the labs have, like they are publishing high impact and they are really doing something that can result in an application. And then of course a big wow moment was in the industry where I could see that the work that the research team does, it has an actual concrete real life application. And these things, I saw a product going into the clinic from like a preclinical development. So this was a really a wow moment to understand that there is an actual meaning behind your work. And then of course experimentally, maybe it was before my PhD already, but it was kind of surprising that I could create my own experiments and I could create meaningful data that others could use and that was informative, and that was kind of this experience that, oh, maybe I can do this.
I totally agree. Very good. So let's move on. As a scientist, we have to tackle a lot of ethical concerns. Ethics are a set of principles that guide researchers who are carrying the research with various subjects. And in my view, it is very complex and also subjective in some areas, which can be a little tricky and difficult for us to scientists to understand it. How do you view ethics in your research project, or how do you approach it in your way of thinking about it?
Well, I especially love the topic of ethics specifically for this field, because CRISPR, like, if you think about the mainstream public, usually the ethics is the first thing that is being discussed when we think about GMOs and gene editing, and we have these very scary ideas of what the future might be. And then the reality of a scientist in the CRISPR field is quite different, but I see that it's very important for a PhD student and a scientist to think about the ethics. And so one is coming from the field itself. And I would say that on a daily basis, it doesn't really show up so much in our work. Like, we are doing this genome editing, and which has real life consequences as well as possibilities, but we don't really talk about it on a daily basis. But it is very important to think about what your work is contributing to. And then, of course, one ethical aspect is the ethics of science. And I liked it a lot when a previous supervisor told me that science is easy because you only have to be honest, but science is difficult because you have to be honest. And when we think about our work and the way we publish, it's very ethically important that we are honest about our research and we publish things that are real and things that are reproducible. And then, of course, the final part of the ethics related to my project and your project is that we are dealing with patients and patient cells, and we need to have people giving these cells. The patients need to know what they are participating to, and we need to conceal their identities so that we don't know who they are. And this is something that is really important to take into consideration when we are doing these experiments.
Yes, very good. I also agree with the ethic part that especially in the challenging field of publishing, people can kind of lose their integrity or honesty in a way just to make their results published.
Yes.
And I think it's just quite a huge problem in the field, because it really like push the limits of the individual researchers, and then some of them maybe just have a tendency to crack under the pressure and then slip towards not very true data.
Yes. I think it's a huge problem in academia in general, that a lot of the people who are still students and before they kind of fully go into academic science, meaning PhDs or postdocs, I mean, a lot of the people don't know how messy the publishing actually is and how political it is and how sometimes it can be quite dishonest. So it's definitely, during my PhD, I've definitely understood it a bit more how deep this really can go. But of course, for our lab, it's because we are an application-based lab and we want to head to the clinic somewhere in the future. So we have this additional pressure to be extremely honest. So for my research or for our research in general, I don't have such concerns.
Nice. So that was the discussion part. And I think we are getting to the end of the podcast today. So let me finish with one more question. So I prepared a small brainstorm for you, Kata. What would be your 5 keywords describing the beginning of the PhD adventure? And how would these 5 words changed now, since you are in your second year of study?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the beginning, I'm thinking words such as motivation, curiosity, proper project planning, it's very important. I'm thinking supervisor support and work-life balance. So when you go into a PhD, of course you need this motivation and curiosity, but a lot of the times when a PhD student starts, they don't have experience in carrying out such a large project beforehand, so they need a lot of like support and structure in their project. And now that I'm a bit now that I'm a bit advanced, I'm in the second year, as you said, different themes are coming up. So these are still very important, but different themes are coming up. And that would be career planning. It would be scientific maturation, so heading towards my career after a PhD. Strategic thinking, like really how you want to make your experiments and what is the most strategic way of doing that. And then maybe some like conceptualizing, so that you really understand your own part within the bigger field and how you can make that even better. And of course, finally, it's seeing through difficulties. So when we are running this marathon, I mean, the research landscape changes and yeah, you have a lot of difficulties at times. So it's to have this trust and seeing through.
I see. So pursuing PhD can really change your view on how you perceive the scientific environment, and maybe also change your personal development as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, last question. What would you recommend to younger students thinking about a career in science, potentially considering applying for a PhD study? What would be your tips or tricks?
Well, so I'm biased in my opinion, so if you ask anybody else, they will give you probably a very different answer. But what my career was that I worked in the industry for 2 years before starting my PhD, and I really recommend that, because the PhD is kind of, in our field or in biology in general, it's the default of people kind of drift into a PhD without really thinking too much about it. But I would recommend to really think about, after your master's graduation, what do you really want from your career and your life? Because when you commit to a PhD, it's an actual real commitment. So if that means that you want to take some time off, like working in research or changing the field entirely or going back to school, like these are all fine options. But it has, I think the decision to make a PhD has to be premeditated, that you really have decided to take that road. And maybe like one important thing, so also that it's very crucial that you have some baseline motivation going into the project. Often that baseline motivation tends to kind of wear off a little bit, or this initial excitement tends to wear off a little bit when you are really doing your lab work. But if you had this initial interest, maybe you were motivated by creating application that will lead to the clinic and help a lot of people. And so you can always tap into that source of motivation. But if you didn't really think too much about your project and your reasons of why you want to do a PhD, it might be a really difficult road ahead of you.
Cool. These were very nice points. So Kata was my guest today. It was a pleasure to have you here with us. We learned a lot of new informations and looked behind the curtains of PhD daily life. I wish you only the best completing the PhD studies.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be a part of the podcast, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.